I'm excited about this passage here in the book of Acts, and it's exciting to look in the Word of God and see what God has to say, and He has much to say to us from the Word of God. Praise His holy name. We come to this passage of Scripture, and we see some great things here, great things that God was doing in those days, and great things that God can do today, and that God will do today as we call on His name. We saw the mighty miracle the last time we were together in Acts 4:22, the man who was over 40 years old, whom this miracle of healing had been performed. God does great miracles. He really does do great miracles. It was a great miracle this week as I prayed with a man, first time he ever prayed out loud with me, and the Spirit of God came upon us in a powerful way in that car. A man who has struggled with alcoholism and addictions, and yet God is working in his life. And that is a tremendous miracle, friends. Let me tell you, when we see the miracle hand of God working in someone's life, it's not a small thing. This man was 40 years laid up, unable to do anything, and suddenly in a moment, he was walking and leaping and praising God. It was a great miracle. But I want you to see some of the other great things that are in this passage. But I want you to be thinking about this. The greatness of God is not less today than it was then. Somehow, after 2,000 years, God has not diminished His power. He has not diminished His presence. And He's not diminished His ability to do great things. I want to live in the great things of God, don't you? I want to walk there. I want to experience the great things of God. I want to walk in the miraculous and see God do miracles. And I have seen Him do miracles, and I expect more of them as we walk with the Lord, as we call on the name of the Lord, as we discover what it is to be with Him. And so after this great miracle, it says they had questioned them, and they couldn't do anything to them because there was a great multitude that were watching on. They didn't do anything to these disciples. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And so once they came back with the report, they broke into prayer. And there is great prayer. There is prayer that is greatly moved of God. And I want you to notice that there was great power in the miracle that happened, but also great power in prayer. Oh, that we might know power in prayer. Some of us got a little taste of that on yesterday. And let me tell you, it is a taste of being in the presence of God. May we pursue that further and further. Go deeper with God, friends. You can't go too deep. You can't find yourself praying too much. It'll never be said of a Christian, oh, I spent too much time praying. Never. I'm sure it's not going to be said of any of you guys, at least not, maybe not right now. It would never be said of us, because there is a great place to be, and that is in the presence of God. And because of that, great prayer can take place, and great power can be released. And so it says, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. And here's another great that I want you to point out to you in this passage. There was great unity. They were of one accord. They were together. They were united. When one person prayed, everybody else was right there. There was no dissension among them, but they were of one accord. That means that they were completely united together in purpose. And that was to serve God, to honor God, to worship God, and to give Him all the glory. And they raised their voice to God with one accord. We see a little bit later on that one accord was not just when they were praying, but that one accord was found in Acts 4:32. And the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Do you see how great that was? How awesome it was, a great unity that was there? They were of one heart. They were of one soul. They were so united together. Now look at this. They were so united together, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. Boy, that isn't North American. That's not North American Christianity either. But they had all things in common. Communism was on the go. Now you're looking at me funny. The communism that you see, communism would work perfectly if there were perfect people. But it is a disaster unless people are perfect. And that's what happened in Russia and China and any other place where communism was. It was an utter, absolute disaster. I don't recommend communism, but I do recommend that we experience the community of the Spirit. Because the community of the Spirit recognizes one another as valuable. The community of the Spirit recognizes everyone that we could bless one another and encourage one another, and that what's mine is yours. So I can say that right now. Whatever I have is yours, friends. But the converse of that is true. Whatever you have is mine. Okay? So I'll be coming knocking soon. There was this sense of unity that they had that was real. And we discover that here in these passages of Scripture. One heart, one mind, a community together. And so here they were, being of one accord, not just, oh, we come together on Sundays, we're all going to try and be in agreement so that we can be in unity with God, but a deep unity that was found not only in the church building, but it was found in the homes, found in the community. They were constantly being together, and they were together in heart and mind and soul and even in their possessions. That's a lot of togetherness, isn't it? That's a deep unity that we discover here in this passage, a great unity. Great unity, great power, great miracles. And now we have, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. And this doesn't mean that everybody prayed this same prayer at the same time. Somebody prayed it, but when that one person was praying it, everyone else was right there, agreeing with it. And you see, as this prayer begins in Acts 4:24, Lord, you are God. It's centered on who? Lord. On the Lord. You are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. As they began in that place where they recognized the great authority and power and majesty of Almighty God. It was displayed all around them, and they acknowledged it. And then they go back to the Old Testament. And I'll tell you, you know, prayers that include the Word of God are often weighty in this respect. As you get to know the Word of God, you will find your prayer life growing, or it should. And that what you're actually doing is praying, and as you're praying, you're acknowledging the truth. And you're acknowledging the truth of who God is. You see, they went right back to Psalm 2 in the Old Testament. And they quote it from Psalm 2, "Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Now this is found right here in Psalm 2. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed," which means Christ, "saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord will have them in derision." And so they could go back to Psalm 2 and they could look at the circumstance that they were in, which was they were being persecuted by the Pharisees, the leaders. They had them hauled the apostles up in front of them. "How come that? Why are you doing this? In what name have you done this great miracle?" And they told them it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this took place. And they told them, "Don't you speak anymore in the name of Jesus." Do you remember that? That's what they said. "You're not allowed to speak in his name anymore." And this is where they referred to. They referred to the fact that the nations are raging and the people are plotting a vain thing. They are set against the counsel of God. They are against the Lord and against his anointed, which was Christ. This was a prophetic word, wasn't it? Being fulfilled right in front of them, they could say, "Lord, you are fulfilling this truth that the people are coming against the Lord and against his anointed." But also we know that they could not break the bonds of God. They could not cast away the cords of the Almighty, because he is what? The creator of all things, as we see acknowledged here. When he says, "You are God, you made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, Lord, you rule. You rule. For truly," and then they go into the New Testament, the old and the new, all put together, "the great and powerful and mighty and awesome word of God." God has given us great things, friends. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. We have seen that as we come into the book of Acts. He's given us a unity that is incredible in its nature. He's given us his power in the miraculous, but he's also given to us his word, his wonderful word that can speak truth into the very circumstances of life. Do not think that your circumstances, that there is no word of God that applies to it. There is always a scripture that will apply to your life and your circumstances at any time. Sometimes we just don't know what those scriptures are. But sometimes God speaks to us from his word in such power. Suddenly it becomes clear. Suddenly our eyes are open and we see, oh yes, Lord, your word is true. Just exactly what you said would happen, and here it is happening right in front of us, is what they were saying, and they were praying it out. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, that is the Christ of God, the anointed one, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and purpose determined before to be done. Now, what's interesting here is that even though the nations were raging, even though people were opposed and Herod and Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, who's still on the throne? God is still on the throne, is he not? Oh, we have a great God, friends. Oh, we have a great God, a God who is in control, even though all the forces were arrayed against the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, they thought they had won. They thought that they had defeated him. They thought that they had gotten rid of this one Jesus. But now it's popping up all over. Now the disciples are declaring the name of Jesus and mighty miracles are being done. And the latter end for them was worse than the first. Before they had one to deal with. Now they had Christians scattering all over, sharing the truth of the word of God. Great and mighty things were happening. Yes, multiplication by the mighty power of God. And so he says, they were gathered together. Yes, they were opposed. They were against Jesus Christ, against the holy servant of God. But to do whatever your hand and purpose determined before to be done. They saw the sovereignty of God. They were facing a problem. They were facing the possibility of great persecution. They were facing the wrath of the physical leaders. Were they worried? No. They knew they served a great God. They knew that he was a God with great authority. They knew that he was a God who was completely and always in control. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you're facing trial? Do you believe that when you're going through it? Do you really believe that God is so much in control that everything is going to work for the good? Can you lay a hold of these great truths and discover the greatness of our God in it all? So what did they do about it? Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Listen, friends, there was great boldness here. There was great boldness in prayer. They had a confidence to come into the presence of God and ask him boldly for things. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need? That there's a boldness that we can have that's not lacking in humility. The humility, yes, Lord, I am nothing. Yes, Lord, I am deserving of nothing. But Lord, on the basis of your Son, I can come. On the basis of your Son, I can cry out to you with confidence that you will accomplish. That's what we ask of you. On the basis of your Son, I can come and pray. Why bother to go and pray at all if you don't believe God's going to answer? Why bother to even come into his presence if you don't think that you have the right to come into the presence of a holy God? And it's a wonder that we can come and not be consumed, not be destroyed, but we can come with boldness because of Jesus Christ. Boldness to enter the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. And so they had a boldness in prayer. Praise the Lord. May we have that boldness. May we grow in that boldness to come before the Lord and ask for things and expect him to answer them. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you have never known. But this boldness in prayer, they wanted boldness in proclamation too. They wanted to be able to proclaim the word of God boldly. Do you? Do you want to be bold in sharing the gospel? You're not as bold as you'd like to be? Then ask God for it. Ask God for it with confidence. Boldly ask God for boldness to proclaim the truth. because they had great boldness, that they may speak your word. Not only did they ask for that, but they asked that God would reveal his power to the ones that they were sharing the truth with, stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. May God give you a boldness to pray for the sick. May God give you a boldness to pray for the impossible and see God do it, because he can and he will. May he grant to us a boldness in prayer to ask of God, not filled with doubt, but filled with a confidence that our God is more than able to accomplish that which we ask him to do, exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even imagine. Lord, stretch out your hand. Oh God, let there be signs and wonders. We want people to be moved. We want them to see that our God is something. Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord, but to your name we give you glory. Why should the unbeliever say, this is from the Psalms, where is your God? Where is your God? Do they say that? Yes, they do. May we have an answer and say, here he is. Look at what he does. Look at the miracles that he produces. Look at the transformed lives that happen over here. Look at the miracles that God is doing here, 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 and here. Now, we know that God is sovereign, and we know that he does things in his own time. But listen, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on looking to God. We read yesterday how George Mueller prayed for 5 friends. How long did he pray for the last one? 52 years. And after he was dead, just after his funeral, the last one got saved. Imagine. For 52 years, he prayed for the 5 of them. One got saved a few years in. Another one, it was 10 years. Another one, 15. Another one, 20 years in. But the last one, after he died and had gone to glory, that man got saved. So keep on boldly asking God. Never mind questioning, well, why isn't it happening just what I wanted? Why isn't this happening the way I want? Keep on looking to God, and maybe the amount of praying that we actually do in confidence before God is very small right now. And it probably is. But may we come boldly and ask God to do just what these guys did. Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand and heal. And stretch out your hand so signs and wonders will be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. I don't believe the age of miracles is over. I believe that the same God is more than able to accomplish, to do signs and wonders, not just for the Jews, but for anyone. We live in communities where they don't even believe there is a God. They need to see the mighty power of God, and we can ask for it just as they did. Let me encourage you. But what happens? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't mind a little earthquake right now. A little one, I said. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. God manifested his boldness and his presence and his power right there, just as they were crying out to him. And I believe we can experience God in prayer gatherings like we did yesterday. We can experience the presence of God and his power. How he manifests that presence is up to him, but I believe he will. And I believe even yesterday we were affected, we were touched by the presence of God, because we took time to be still in his presence. Praise the Lord. These prayer times can be precious, friends, and we need to think about maybe having one in this area as well. Pardon? Oh, there is one once a month in Marguerite. Every Saturday, the first Saturday of every month, there is a prayer time, a 6-hour prayer time in Marguerite. Yes. And we will seek to facilitate as much as we can in the months to come. And in as many places as possible, because things happen when we pray. They really do. They were assembled together. The place was shaken. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? It says more than they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it say? How many were filled? All were filled. All filled. Now listen, every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. I can be filled with the Spirit today, but not filled with the Spirit tomorrow. Being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing experience. It's an ongoing privilege from God that I live filled with the Spirit. The tense in the command in the book of Ephesians is to be continually filled with the Spirit. The command of God is for all of us to be continually filled. And sometimes some Christians are filled and sometimes other Christians are not filled. But what happened here? They were all filled. Every single one of them. Now, I'm sure all those Christians were at different levels in their walk with God, but they were all filled. Every one of them was filled. Lord, may it be in our gatherings that we will all be filled with the Spirit of God. Every one of us. May we experience God as we come in prayer, as we unite together before your throne, and as we ask for the very things, Lord, that is on your heart, O God, that we too will experience the power of God working and that all will be filled with the Spirit of God. We can't get by without being filled with the Spirit, Lord. We can't live this Christian life without being filled and continually filled with you, Lord. So we are looking to you, O God, even tonight, even here, may we all be filled with the Spirit of God. O Lord, may we all be controlled by you. May we all be given over to you, O God. May every reservation be thrown away, O God. May reluctance in our hearts be driven out by your Spirit, O God. May coldness and indifference, Lord, be removed from our very thoughts, O God. And may, O God, you burn us with a passion and a fire for you. Lord, we are crying out to you that you would accomplish this for your glory, that we might too have the boldness, Lord, to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened next? They spoke the word of God with boldness. It happened. They were bold to share. They were ready to give an answer for the hope they had within them. They were ready to proclaim the truth of God and to go forward in the ways of God. Praise the Lord. Are there not great things in this little passage of Scripture for us to think on? The great and mighty power of God. They had great boldness. They were praying with the power, the great power of God. There were great miracles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Oh, great truth was being proclaimed. Oh, thank you, Lord. We just thank you so much, Jesus, that we can come into your presence. And the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. We already saw there was that great unity. It was ongoing. That was a miracle, friends. A miracle. People were not greedy. They were not looking to get somebody else's stuff. They were willing to give themselves away for the word of God and for the ways of God. Oh, may the Lord grab our hearts and may we know the greatness of God in our experience, in our living, in our thinking, in our praying, in our walking, and in our talking. We can walk with God. Look what it says in Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And another great is here. What is it? Great grace was upon how many? Them all. Great grace was upon them all. Oh, the great and mighty things that God can do. May we be the surrendered ones. May we be the ones who are willing to come into God's presence to seek his face and to know his power in powerful and incredible ways. Lord, we need to be brought before your throne. Lord, we pray that you will be with us so that when we are faced with trouble, when we are faced with trial, that we will be found praying, that we will be found boldly coming to the throne of grace, that we'll be asking of you, O God, to take those very circumstances and glorify your name, that, Lord, you will give us that great grace and boldness to proclaim the truth, that, Lord, you will give us a great unity amongst one another, O Lord, that, Lord, that will be the great move of God, that we will all be filled with the Spirit, not one left behind, Lord. Not one, O God, left in control of their own devices, doing their own thing, going their own way. O God, I pray for everyone in this room that none will be left behind. Lord, that hearts won't grow cold towards you. I pray for the young people in this room, Lord, that you will give them a fire in their hearts towards you. That, Lord, you will cause them to pray in the night season. Cause them to rise up praying, O God. To go to school praying, Father. To seek your face, O God. We know the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I pray that they will be fervent in their faith. And I pray that for all of us, oh God, that we will grow in God. And that, Lord, we will discover the boldness and the power and the presence of the Spirit in our lives. That we will live for Jesus Christ with heart and soul and mind and body. And persecution won't be a fear that we will have. But we will gladly embrace whatever comes our way as we walk with you. Because, Lord, you desire to bring great power, great blessing, and great grace upon us all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight that the Word of God is true. As true as it was then, it is now. And that we are the people of God who can know all of these great experiences in our lives. Don't let us come short in them, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.